That song could have been a sermon. I want to thank God for our praise team. I want to thank him for blessing us through this weather event we've been through. Blessing his people that we came through, for the most part, unscathed. And all you can do in a situation like that is just raise your head up and just say, God is good. All the time. And all the time. God is good. My heart is very, very full of joy. And to be honest with you, I was wondering how many of us was going to be able to make it out today. But God has blessed. And he will continue to bless. So if you would, you can turn with me, or if it's up on the screen, Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. And if you would, stand with me as we read the word of God. Together, then, why? But thy disciples fast not. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up, take it from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both or preserve. Then may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. As I spend a few minutes on the subject, let go and let God. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. We ask that you would send your spirit, touch our minds and our hearts, Lord. Prepare us for the blessing that you have in store, Lord, that will transform us into the people that you would have us to be. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In the word, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Reflections. That is a powerful word. Reflections in our lives have caused us to do many things. Reflections have caused us to grieve over many things. Put a desire in us to change many things. Well, you know, as the new year rolled in, as 2020 became a reality, if you were anything like me, you had a whole list. I think the name for them is resolutions. In other words, a list of the things that I'm not going to do in 2020, because I don't want to be tripping up on those things like I did in 2019. So I come up with these resolution. And according to the polls in the statistics, the most of the new year resolutions are the same from year to year. I want to eat more healthier. I want to lose weight. I want to get in better shape. I want to be a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better sibling. I want to be a better relative, a friend, a co-worker. And nothing is wrong with that. I'm not saying that resolution is a bad thing. But what we need to come to grips with this morning as Christians, because see, Christians makes resolutions too. But what we got to understand here, if you want to be a better Christian in 2020 than you were in 2019, resolution is not the solution. Resolution can't do what you think it's going to do. See, it's not wrong with us wanting to eliminate the things from our lives that are counterproductive, things that stunt our maturity and growth and overall development spiritually or otherwise. But resolutions is not the solution. See, we make resolutions, and it's a shame to say, and I'm not picking on anyone because I'm guilty of them too. Some of them resolutions, they back on the proverbial shelf collecting proverbial dust before we even get out of January. Giving up. Storm away with the rest of the Christmas decorations until the next new year. Why? Because we realize something in our quest. And the thing that we realize that we don't have the ability to turn our resolutions into a reality, especially in the spiritual realm. So, but why is this? It's because we have the how to, the want to, but we don't understand the how to. The thing we need to do, the best thing we can do for ourselves, is to come to grips with the fact that we don't have it in and of ourselves to change ourselves. You can determine in your mind and your heart all you want. I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to stop doing that. And I won't do this anymore. And I'm not going to eat that. And I'm not going to go here. And I'm not going to do that. Yeah, but you on the surface, it sounds good. But in reality, it's nothing more than behavior modification. And there's no permanency to it. It won't last. Because why? We are as fickle as our mindset. We are as fickle as our emotion. We are as fickle as our feelings. It might work today, but tomorrow I don't feel like that. And here's another thing. If I could control what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do, why would I need a savior? See, God understood something about us because God created us and he knew we were going to be hitting our head up against that brick wall trying to do that which was impossible for us to do. But here's the problem with that. As long as you keep on trying to fix you, there isn't going to be any joy in your religion. There isn't going to be any rejoicing in your spiritual experience because you're trying to do something that's impossible for you to do. And worse yet, you're trying to do something that God never asked you to do. We want to see people accepting Jesus Christ. It is the desire, and I believe this with all my heart, of each and every one sitting in here right now to see these pews filled up, each and every one of them. But where we mess up at, when people are drawn to the gospel of Christ. We try to jump in between them and the Holy Spirit and start telling them what they can do, what they can't do, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, where they should go, where they shouldn't go. And the problem with that is you struggling with those same things yourself. You trying to get them to live up to a standard that you can't live up to yourself. And there's no shame in that, because since sin came into the world, none of us can live up to the standard. But that's the good thing about God. God doesn't ask us to do anything that he will not provide a way for us to do it. So what do I mean by that? Why would God ask you to keep a law that he know you can't keep and not make a way for you to keep it? And then call himself a loving, forgiving, kind, and merciful God? Wouldn't make much sense, would it? But through Christ Jesus, God understood man is not going to be able to do that. That's why the scripture said from the foundation of the world, before you got here, salvation was already here. The Lamb was slain. God knew we were going to come up short. He knew we were going to have faults. But where we get into trouble, we keep trying to fix ourselves. Ever since Adam and Eve sold them fig leaves together to cover their mistakes, man has been trying to do the same thing, fix himself. God didn't accept it then, and God's not going to accept it now. He has his plan. It's already in place. And all you got to do is follow it. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell the Pharisees in the parables in Matthew 9. You want to change? You got to change your way of thinking. You got to change the way you see Jesus. You got to stop focusing on your faults, on your weaknesses, on your shortcomings, and focus in on who he is and what he has done and what he will do for you. Because without Jesus, none of us are going to come out of this thing unscathed. Simply put, we got to let go and let God. When God wants your help, he'll ask for it. But we want to help him in areas where we can't help him. The best thing you can do for you is have the want to. God will take care of the how to. How do I know that? Scripture tells me, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, I didn't read anywhere in that scripture where it says, if you fast so many days, you will become a new creature. If you become a vegetarian, you will become a new creature. If you give Bible studies, if you preach sermons, if you sing in a choir, if you go out and knock on doors witnessing, you will become a new creature. That's not what the text says. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting none of these things down, because these things are products of being a new creature in Christ. But what Jesus wanted the Pharisees to understand here is this. All the sanctified works in the world will not change and clean an unsanctified heart. You don't do these things to be a Christian. You do these things because you are a Christian. We are not given the fruits of the Spirit
to be saved. We are given the fruits of the Spirit because we are saved. God said, while we were yet sinners, he commended his love. What that means? You don't come into the equation when it comes to fixing you. And trying to fix an old garment with a new piece of cloth. What is he saying? Well, back in Bible times, clothes was made out of wool or cotton. And that old garment had been washed several times. And I don't know about you, but have you ever went out there, especially when you buy one of them cheapest, you know, and you wash it, and you got to give it to your grandson or your son because it won't fit you no more? It shrunk. That's what he's talking about here. You take that new piece of wool, that new piece of cotton, and you patch that old garment. When they wash it, the new piece will shrink, pull, and make the rent or the tear even worse. You don't pour old wine in the new wineskin. You don't pour new wine into old wineskin. Why? Wine ferments. And when you put the new wine into a new skin, as the wine ferments, it expands. The new skin, now you got to realize these skins they're talking about were made out of goat skins. And they were flexible and pliable, and they were stretch as the wine expanded. But when you try to put that new wine into old wineskin or that new piece of cloth onto that old garment, you didn't get the same effect. See? Because the new piece was going to shrink. The old piece was already shrunk. The new wine going to expand. The old wineskin had become rigid and tough, flexible and ungiving. So what is he saying here? He was trying to let the Pharisees know, you cannot take the good news of the gospel of Christ, the new news, the new wine of the gospel of Christ, and pour it into that old Judaism religion. You can't patch up that old Judaism religion and make it right with the New Testament teachings. You got to get this thing out of your mind about becoming righteousness through your work. How you become righteous is you become righteous by surrendering your life to me. Because only he can do it. He's the only one. How are we saved? By grace. How do we become righteous? Righteousness by faith. Nowhere does God ask us to earn it. And we walk around here and you wonder sometimes why people don't want nothing to do with your religion. Every time they see you, you frown all up, angry about something, talking about somebody, putting down the church. Who you don't like, who I do like. No. Where's the power of Christ in that equation? What people need to see in me is the express image of the living Christ being at work on display in my daily living. If not, you will continue to fall. You will continue to trip up. You will continue to be hindered spiritually because there cannot be any spiritual growth without Christ Jesus. I found that out just this week. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been talking to the Lord about my church. Been talking to the Lord about myself. Been talking to the Lord about him. And right when everything started to feel pretty good and looked like things were going the way I wanted them to go, all of a sudden, they give me a route that I was totally unfamiliar with.
And other people, little angels, got up on that bus. And within 5 minutes, if the church could have recorded what was going through my mind, I would have had to get back in the pool. What I was thinking, what I felt like doing. Let me just put it this way. It was nothing Christian about it. I had enough of being cussed out. I had enough of being called all them vulgar and filthy names. I had enough of being called stupid by a 12, 13-year-old little runt who wanted to be grown and got to ride the school bus to school because he don't have no other way to get there. I had enough. And before I knew it, the seatbelt was in the air. My hat was behind my seat. I was up on my feet. And when I turned, the Holy Spirit arrested my attention. And I heard so clearly, so plainly, what are you doing? And then the shame, the embarrassment just flooded my mind and my heart. And all I could do was look up and say, Lord, I have no idea. But in actuality, I was reacting. I wanted some justification. I wanted some satisfaction. But yet, less than an hour before, I had prayed the same prayer that I pray every morning. Lord, grant me your safe traveling mercy. Keep me alert so I don't cause any accidents or be involved in it. Help me to be patient, tolerant, and understanding in my interaction with others. And all that I think, and all that I say, and all that I do. Every morning I pray that prayer. But this morning there was a disconnect somewhere. Somehow what came out of my mouth hadn't got to my brain. Why? Because in a flash of a second, I had decided I was going to fix me. I was going to fix this. No. Got to let go and let God. Then the next thing I found myself praying, Lord, please don't give me that route tomorrow. And would you know, when I signed on and them people told me what I had, I wanted to call in sick. My stomach started turning. I ain't gonna lie to you. I did not want to go over there. And let me tell you, when I got over there and I picked up that little individual and they got on the bus, he looked at me, Mister, I owe you an apology. I shouldn't have said what I said yesterday. I shouldn't have talked to you the way I talked to you. Please forgive me. Here I'm sitting up there, all 285 pounds, trying not to let this little runt see me shed a tear. Not because he apologized, but because I saw the goodness of God at work. I saw an answer to my prayer. We can't fix ourselves. It says we are saved by grace. Not by works, lest any man should boast. But it is the gift of God.
And this is what the Pharisees didn't understand. This is why there wasn't no joy in their religion, no rejoicing, no happiness. It was a burden. Have your religion become a burden? You got to let go and let God. All of us got something wrong. All of us dealing with something. You know, some of us come in here, we want to sit down and act like we all pious and sanctimonious. You know, sitting over there as elders with the pastor, chest out. Guess what? Dealing with something too. Got something in there. Just can't get a grip on. Just can't get a hand on. Yeah, we can modify vacation. Yeah, we can go several months without dealing with that particular thing. But all of a sudden, the right time, right opportunity, devil bring that thing back in there and you find yourself dealing with it. Tell me you haven't been shocked by some of the stuff coming out of your mouth sometime. Tell me you haven't been shocked by some of the thoughts that creep into your head. Yes, it happens. Why? It's in our nature. We have sinful natures. That's why we can't fix ourselves. Can't do it. Over in Isaiah, God said, I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and put in a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you. And you will keep my statutes and my judgments and do them. Don't lose sight of the fact of what Christ is saying there. He didn't tell you you had to be doing all this kind of stuff, going through all these contortions, tripping the candle, making yourself miserable, coming to church, making everybody else miserable, so you can change your heart. He said, I will put a new heart in you. I will put my spirit within you. Will cause you to walk in my statutes. I will cause you to keep my judgments and do them. You got to let go and let God and let him do what he has promised to do. Beloved, that's not just wishful thinking. That is a promise straight from the lips of God. God has told us, I will make you everything I want you to be if you would just surrender to me. Problem is, biggest problem we got is surrendering. I had surrendered so many days on that bus. But then that one day, I didn't want to surrender. Thought, hold up, stand right over there. I want to handle this one. But I'm so glad that I allowed his spirit to have his way with me. If you want to be better Christians in 2020, better believers, better followers of Christ, better disciples for Christ, you're going to have to let go and let God. No. But what that means? That means, if we don't understand how to live in God's kingdom of grace, we will never be prepared to live in his kingdom of glory. That's what this is all about. Grace. God looks at us through the righteousness of Christ. There's a reason for that. Isaiah said, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We won't even clean our floors with filthy rags. So how in the world do we think God is going to accept them from us?
No, 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 no. He said, you know what? I'm going to trash your filthy rags. I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. And in me, you're going to become a new creature. How you going to do that, Lord? I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put my spirit within you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and you will do them. How I'm going to do that, Lord? Through my power. I'm going to fill you up with the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's no longer you, but it's me living in you. How do we get to the point where we're living in the kingdom of grace? You know, three things, three simple things. You only got to do three simple things. Number one, stop focusing on your faults, your weaknesses, and your shortcomings. Stop focusing on you. Focus on Jesus, on his power, on his grace, on his goodness, on his forgiveness, on his pardoning of sins. Which is the second step. You got to focus in on what Jesus has done, what he is doing, and what he will continue to do for you. Because let me tell you something. None of us are going anywhere eternally without Jesus. Our biggest struggle is not what the issues that we're dealing with. Like I said, we are all dealing with some issues. That's not our biggest struggle. The biggest struggle we face in this life is surrendering those issues to Jesus. Because when you surrender them to him, you have to step back and allow him to transform you. He has already promised. He'll do it. If you're in him, you're a new creature. And when you think about the thing, what he's promised, by grace, you are saved. What do you have in you that can generate grace? So what am I saying? God already done took care of your salvation. Why you won't trust him with your situation? Why? Surrender it to God. And then the next thing, if we're going to have a better 2020, we need to spend more time with God. The more time we spend with God, the less the chance of us slipping back into them old habits. We can't take the gospel of Christ and pour it into our old way of thinking, into our old way of doing things. We got to dismiss all that stuff. We got to let go and let God. God will fix you. God will fix his church. Scripture says that he will present to himself. Get that. Don't lose sight of that now. He will present to himself a church without spot or wrinkle. And I'll close with a thought a guy shared with me a long time ago, and I never forgot it. He said, God called us to be fishermen. He never asked you to clean the pond. You want to be better in 2020? You want to be better Christians? Better disciples? Better followers of Christ? You want to take your focus off your faults, shortcomings, and weaknesses? You want to let go and let God, then come on up here and we'll pray for you. If you want to surrender, I think our theme this year, if I'm correct, is expect the great. Well, unless you submit and surrender, the great will only be an expectation. It'll never be a realization. If we want to expect the great, we're going to have to surrender our worst to Jesus. Let him fix it. Let him transform us. Won't you come? You want to come? I got elders here ready to pray for you. Say, Lord, I don't want to go through 2020 like I went through 2019. I don't want to deal with all that baggage that I dealt with in 2019. I want to be able to come into your house and proclaim like David that I was glad when they said it to me. I want to rejoice in your sacrifice. I want to find joy and hope in the power that you're filling me with. I want to rejoice, Lord, that you have already worked it out. Just help me, Lord, to see you, to see what you have done. Help us, Lord, not to focus on our frailty and our feebleness, but to focus on your power. Help us, Lord, not to focus on our weaknesses and our faults and our shortcomings, but to focus on your strength. To focus on your goodness, not our badness, Lord. Focus on your righteousness, not our unrighteousness, Lord. Focus on the promises you have made to us. You're going to give us a new heart. You're going to put your spirit in us. You're going to make us to walk in your statutes, do your judgments and keep them. You're going to bless us, Lord, and above all, you're going to save us, and we're going to come home and spend all eternity with you. If that's your desire, if that's your determination, your resolution for 2020, let everyone say, praise the Lord. Amen.